is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplift. This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up today, I get to introduce you to a new member of the News for the Soul family. Summer is here, literally and figuratively almost. Inside Out Healing is what the show is going to be. We're going to get to know Summer, starting with our famous first question, and go from there. Summer, welcome to News for the Soul.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. Can you hear me well?
I can. Yay, that helps.
Oh, good.
Helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, here we are. Famous first question. I do this instead of doing the standard read the bio thing and kind of put you in a box right away. Just we like to kind of get to know each other soul to soul. And the first question kind of revolves around what drew us together as a movement of 25 years now. This kind of eternal quest of wanting to know what's really real, authentic, and what's really possible. So I had a lot of experiences outside the 3D norm from very early on as one can imagine. And comparing notes over the years, I found others did too, and we just don't kind of talk about them. So we'd like to start the first question there, goes along with the theme of what's really real, what's really possible. I'm curious if you had any kind of outside the 3D norm events or experiences early in life and later in life as well, along your path, that got your attention, maybe even changed your paradigm or even set you on your path. So wherever you'd like to start us.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh. I mean, the question of norm is just so interesting how our culture describes it. Things that I most experienced earlier is out of the norm is just being able to heal my body spontaneously. But I've talked to people that have passed on, heard their voices very clearly, had premonitions, all those kinds of types of things.
Can you give us some nitty-gritty ones, like some of your early ones that, like, walk us through them. We love details, like, as if we're there. Fly on the wall.
Okay, well, one of the most prevalent ones in my life was, we grow up with this corporate cultural attitude. So, and it's not super early, but it is early 20s, so adolescence kind of thing. And I was told I was a good girl, and I went and did my business degree in marketing, and it was dry and boring. I wanted to be an artist instead. And then I traveled to India. India was an awakening for me. It was such a soul start of my soul journey, really back to myself. Lived with a family. I grew up in a very wealthy community with, large homes and cars and indoor pools and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to India, my family had no furniture, and they gave up their only bed for me. Our maid cleaned my clothes on a rock. And I saw children begging, and they had their legs broken by their parents so that they could make more money. And I just, something in me awakened to the injustices in our society, and it just unraveled me from the inside out. And it goes with most of my work that most chronic illness, accidents, injuries, all of those things are spiritual awakenings. So my spiritual awakening back to myself when I was in my 20s, I left India to go home, and I had a streptococcal blood infection. And I had these massive boils all over my body, and I went to the infectious disease specialist. That's considered normal. Go to the hospital, and they're like, "Oh well, we're not sure what's causing this, but you have to take antibiotics for the rest of your life." And I thought, "God, really? Are you sure?" I was in such culture shock that I just sat with myself, and I started having downloads of dreams and intuitions and memories of childhood and trauma. And one day the message came to me, and they come in different ways for different people, whether it's through dreams or intuitions or senses and knowing. But I picked up a book, opened it up, and it described boils as this seething, unrelenting anger that burst through the surface. And my body just resonated with an undeniable presence of truth within my being. And my streptococcal blood infection disappeared. And I didn't have to take antibiotics anymore. And I just knew it.
Wow.
So I believe we're all guided in this way. And so for me, that's my particular 5D gift, is teaching people how to do the same thing within their own bodies, their own lives. Mm-hmm. That's my weird.
Well, we love quote-unquote weird, because weird is not weird, as we found out when we started asking the question. This is where we learn the most about reality, in fact. I'm so curious about your earlier things, though. You were... like, were you just open channel early, or did anything else happen when you were younger to open you up to see things?
You know, I do remember driving. I guess it all revolved around medical people for me, because when I was really young, I had pneumonia at 3 years old, and after that, and I remember thinking I was so sick, and my mom was then driving me to the doctor, and I remember thinking to myself, "Oh, it's so interesting. Every time I go to the doctor, I just feel well on the way there." I was fine. Just the thought of going to the doctor was enough for me to go, "Okay, I don't want to be sick anymore," and I would be fine. And then we'd get to the doctor, and he'd be like, "Why did you even bring this kid here?" Even at a younger age, I was like, "Okay, this is super interesting. I know I'm sick, and my mom's taking me there, and then I'm better halfway there to the doctor." So things like that would happen to me. Those are the kinds of things that I experienced.
That one had me giggling, mm-hmm. because I remember doing things like that myself, and I had this bad flu, and I made it better. And my adoptive mother at the time said, "Well, that's not passable." So I had to stay in bed for another 4 days. Literally said, "No, you got to stay in here another 4 days, because that's how it works." Perfectly fine, sitting in there going, "Well, that's stupid." Anyway, you mentioned having some sort of communication with someone that had passed or something, or...
That was a little later. I had a young boy that I grew up with, and he'd committed suicide, and one day he just quite clearly came through to me with images, and he was asking me to call his mother, and I all of a sudden was downloading all of her emotions. There was a song on, and I realized that day it was Mother's Day, and she probably would be feeling all of these things, but the intense emotions of grief and loss, I'm like, wow, where is this coming from? And then I was able to really understand that. So there's a few close people when people are leaving the planet in the in-between spaces that I've had very clear communications with. At some points I tried not to have those communications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mother was quite upset by one of them at one point. So, yeah.
Oh. Why is that?
Well, I think, you know, people are uncomfortable. They don't want to know there's ghosts or access to the other side when they're comfortable in their 3D reality. It's scary, right? It's terrifying.
Right.
And so getting comfortable in the unknown and in that energetic space becomes a mission or an exploration or a journey that some of us decide to take on or choose to shut off. And so
right.
Well, we're all about trying to get back on, aren't we?
Well, we are here. I mean, it's not like we have a choice anymore, right? I mean, it's just where we go, there you are, and there it is.
True.
Let's talk more about India. It was very transformative for you. What else happened while you were there?
Oh, wow. I think it burst my bubble. Many of us have a culture.
Find out how funny that is, because literally boils. Okay, go on.
I never thought of that. Yeah, well, we grow up in a culture with certain beliefs, right? And we just take them as the norm, and we can't see past our faces. So I state of absolute downloads from there. It was it grew me up all at the same time. I saw images of my brother and I started seeing the energetic distortions of our family and what you might call the ancestral line of hidden triggers and traumas, and it just started flowing endlessly through me and my body. Yeah, for 6 months I actually couldn't function well. Most people would call it a healing crisis, but my intuition turned on, my dreams turned on, and that's where I believe that physical healing isn't any different from our connection to source, our connection to our intuition, our ability to talk to the other side, and the knowing that all energy in the universal realm, whether it's ghosts or people called demons or entities, it's all part of the same universal realm and energies that our bodies are conduits for. So that really was the beginning of a return. Oh, no. There was another thing that happened to me when I was 14 years old, and that was a trip to Egypt. And when I was, I have a very influential past life as an ancient Egyptian priestess in this life. And when I was 14 years old, my parents took us to Egypt. And I remember, you know, being in Egypt and wondering why it felt so familiar. And at that time, you know, I really didn't have a lot of information. My parents, of course, still are very 3D. But I recognized the hieroglyphics. I knew where I was. It just felt so familiar to me. And years later, as I've integrated all of this information and the alchemical wisdom, I now know why, because I remember my past life. I remember how I was. I remember the slaves that I've had, and I've had multiple readings and Akashic readings. One day I had two in the same day. They're like, I'm being told to tell you that you're supposed to connect with your past life as an ancient Egyptian priestess. I'm like, oh my God, I know. Thank you. So it's amazing how the universe and the world shows up to bring out our gifts. And I believe we're all doing that for each other, to heal each other, to relearn our own power to do so on this planet. Because you're right, the planet is not allowing us to behave as infantile, powerless, sick beings anymore on our planet. We're being asked to step into something new.
Yeah, the previous thing wasn't working out so great. It didn't feel so great either. So you had these experiences fairly young, in your teens and early 20s, and how did that kind of come together to start forming you and your path and purpose?
Well, it just awakened me to like, oh, everything that I've been taught or that my parents teach me or my education taught me just doesn't seem to be quite lining up. So it put me on a path of finding the fringe information, what resonated within my bones is true, starting to trust a different locus, not things outside myself, things inside myself. I did a degree here. Most of our education is about regurgitating information, and one of the greatest gifts that I did receive was an education here in Edmonton from St. Stephen's College. It was the master's degree in spirituality, and they asked you to develop your gifts. They taught you different ways of doing it. And I wouldn't say it's the type of education that most accredited government regulations have. And it invited me further into, you know, whether it's through art therapy, through music, through sound, through the intuition pieces, through food, through anything that's energy. The Native American culture, talk to trees and rocks, everything has energy. It awakened all of these senses in me and the desire to know more because I couldn't not admit that it wasn't real and there wasn't more. Otherwise, my energy would wane and I would get sick. So it just thrust me on my path forward, and I've been doing it ever since. And it wasn't until 2019, it was many, many years that I developed different skills. I did my master's degree. I had clients. I have training in natural vision improvement and tying all of these together. And it wasn't until 2019 I heard a clear, clear voice. Write your book now. People are ready for it. And I thought, what? What do you mean? I'm writing a book. People are ready for it. They'll be ready for it. And I believe, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to say, so up to there, you were specifically, what kind of trainings and stuff were you doing?
It's called St. Stephen's College. It was trainings in spirituality. So it was all about the mystics, about Mary Magdalene, about the spiritual practice of drawing the mandala. Some parts were art therapy, but a lot of mystical studies. Mm-hmm.
I see. So they told you your upstairs team or whatever, I'm assuming, said it's book time. And what happened next?
I took all my information that I had learned and created in my master's degree. And part of that, oddly enough, we say, you know, 3D, 5D, and I used to teach people art too. And there's a book called Art and Physics, and I love this book because it ties in how artists who are able to tap into energy and the divine can often predict science findings in quantum physics earlier than themselves. And so when I finished my master's degree, part of what I had to do, because what they were telling me is I couldn't get a PhD if I didn't do an objective reality. So here we have the 3D reality, the 5D reality, or what they call objective reality, or you know, your integrative study, which is just your personal experience. And I was like, okay, this makes no sense. I am doing something related to mind-body medicine and to intuition, and I have to tell them that there's the difference between objective and subjective reality when I don't believe that's true. So all of this stuff that we're talking really does tie into quantum physics, to the field of possibility that we're all in. And I actually had to make an argument based on art-based research. And why it's art-based research is because it's about creation. It's about co-creativity. It's about something that's never been done before. Often so many of us are used to being in our comfort zones. We have a life. We have symptoms. We have things. And we want someone else to fix us or to tell us what to do. we're not about to embark on a journey of creation, of connecting to source ourselves. But it's imperative. And so quantum physics and art therapy aren't that far apart. Anyways, to make a long story short, I argued that our objective measurements, all Newtonian science is so outdated, and it truncates both Einstein's and Newtonian science in a way that keeps us slaves to our 3D reality. And so my book was born out of that, to teach people the universal laws that allow us to live in the 5D reality and bring it back into the 3D in a way that is empowering. It lets us heal spontaneously.
Wow. Well, that sounds intriguing. and this was 2019 when you came out with this book?
I just republished it, and I actually, I'm looking at, I have a lot of calls for traditional publishers, so I've got to decide what I'm doing with that. Moreover, I don't really want to sell books for books. I want to, people can read books and they read it in their head. It's more about embodying it. So I'm so excited to be on this show to teach people how to embody the work, to teach 3D reality, keep them stuck in how to go into the energy of it and really allow it to transform. Because we don't have to try, we don't have to fix, we don't have to force, we don't have to fight. We just have to follow the laws of the universe that are guiding us. But we need to know what they are first, and we need to know how to trust them, too.
So obviously you're going to be delving into shows with this, but can we get the mini overview guide today?
The mini overview guide of intuitive self-healing?
Yeah, sure,
absolutely. What do I want to – well, first – what I would say is that it's about a major paradigm shift, and that is intuitive. Most alternative healing is still within the same paradigm, which is that we're going to go solve a problem. So whether it's Reiki, yoga, naturopathy, we still have a certain protocol and a certain diagnosis or a certain judgment. And as soon as we diagnose or judge something, and Marshall Rosenberg, I love him. He was a PhD psychologist, and he disowned. He said that all diagnoses, all judgments, all labels are tragic and suicidal because they don't go to what's alive in us. So what's alive in us is the energy that runs through our body, but we dissociate from emotions, and even some healers do that. So we're leaving the idea that anything's wrong. Even if we have cancer, even if we have whatever other diagnosis that we might have. And we're simply entering the pure energetic reality of whatever it is that we're experiencing. Not everybody can do this. They might need a little bit more inner work or different things before they're ready. A lot of this is overcoming fear, or what I call the health scare system. To embrace, a lot of... marketing in healthcare is fear-based. You know, you're going to die if you don't do this, you're going to do this. So we're moving past a cultural era of healthcare that's based on the Industrial Revolution, which has a strong value in economies of scale, and now the information age, which tells us to do things quickly, with speed, like we're machines. Or information, and our bodies are simply not bad. I believe we are currently we're into the age of Aquarius. We're moving into a spiritual age of energetic mastery. That's where I believe we're going, where people don't have to fit in like cogs in a wheel, and they start to embody, which means to bring into their body rather than their heads. We're not limited beings, and we're not the sum of our physical parts. And I believe we have the power to create the world we want to live in, where, you know, we're not satisfied in a mediocre body with random injuries or symptoms or platonic or toxic relationships or half-assed careers. It's a world where people hear us, they know you, they understand you, confirmation that not only do you belong here, because so many of us who have intuitions or feelings, and we've felt like the odd one out in our family for so long, but as we move into this spiritual age of energetic mastery, we start to begin to have these missions that are stronger than our pain and our fear or our desire for comfort. And we start to move towards finding a life that is living our truth authentically. And it becomes the only desire and the motivating force behind whatever it is that we do. So I really talk to people about the benefits of being sick and how we can move past that to empower ourselves. So there's five basic steps to intuitive self-healing. And the first is essentially just immersion. It's a, what do they call that? An acronym, inside out. So I-N-O-W-T. And I stands for immersing, simply immersing yourself in your being, in your body. And people will find different things. They will find physical sensations. They will find thoughts. Some people's heads fill up with music and sound. Some people will see color. And I use Einstein often. Almost every talk or conversation I have with people, his work or one quote from Einstein kind of covers it all, and that is that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transformed. And the second is that the imagination is more important than knowledge, because knowledge is limited to what we already know. And I'm sorry, there was a pause. I had to sneeze. We are so busy often in healing ourselves. We're serious. We're trying to create something. We're trying to force something. We're taking these supplements. We're doing this diet. We're starving ourselves. We're doing this. We're going in the hyperbaric chamber. And it's really forcing. The reason why it doesn't work is because it's the self-harm in the process of what we're doing that makes us sick. It's like diets don't work, why people beat cancer, go into remission and relapse, and go for massage for repetitive injuries. And we're exhausted. People have burnout, adrenal fatigue, especially healthcare workers, because so many people are starting to really feel in their bodies like, this isn't working. I think I'm done. I'm done being a fixer, a forcer, and a fighter in myself and others' lives, but I don't know what to do about it. And the reason why it's so exhausting is because it sets up this pattern of resistance that does the exact opposite of healing. And so as we move into the 5D realm, as we pick up our intuition, we also have to realize that it comes into our body. And we have to trust how it plays out. So as we immerse ourselves and we notice that we have our stomach pain that we usually have, we can actually ask it to become another form of energy. And it will, as long as we're open to it. Einstein is brilliant, right? Energy can't be created or destroyed. So as long as we're not judging what we're experiencing and we can become an observer, just like we do in quantum physics, an observer without the judgment that so-called collapses the wave function of our being, the energy will move itself. That's how my streptococcal blood infections disappeared. I had pre-cervical cancer. I've had migraine headaches that have been arrested suddenly. As we come into alignment with source energy and allow it to fill our body, things shift. It's just that simple when we get down to it. So as we immerse ourselves, the next one is the letter N for notice. We're noticing. we're full of curiosity. And we are looking to stay out of our judgmental mind, but even here in these early stages, some people get stuck. They're like, oh, I don't want to notice that. No thanks. I'll go do my grocery shopping. So we notice. And the third stage is O, which is taking ownership over what we notice. And sometimes there's some very uncomfortable images, thoughts, physical sensations that come up. And this is where the resistance starts and fear. So it's really about mastering our fear. And the ancient Egyptians knew how to train people for this. And so it's a training, really. And one of the things the ancient Egyptians did is they had a big pool. And they would throw someone in this pool, and there would be a large crocodile, a 400, 500-pound crocodile in there. And most people, and this is very metaphorical, as self-healing is, they tend to thrash about upon the surface of the water. Ah, fear. This thing's going to eat me. It's going to eat me. It's going to eat me. And, of course, what happens is the crocodile is attracted by the thrashing in the water, and there they go. If, however, that person has been trained to be centered in their body and know that there always is another way besides what they're thinking based in fear, they might immerse themselves under the water, take a deep breath, because there was a tunnel that they could swim through to get out, but you had to go under the water to get out, and the crocodile couldn't follow because they were too big. So it's the same type of training. The knowledge that the universe is actually benevolent and that we are connected to it and the universal laws that allow transformation to take place. So in a process, when we do self-healing circles, I'm always saying to people, accept, honor, and trust whatever it is that you're noticing. And as they do that, new things start to drop in, whether it's their great-grandmother that passed on, a voice, a memory. I've had people go into this life and then experience the past life of a perpetrator in sexual abuse that they experienced and why they're seeing the pattern show up in their lives. But if we can't take full responsibility, we can't own that, we're not going to go very far. So that's I-N-O. You immerse yourself in your being as you are now. And then you notice. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm not noticing anything. But there always is something. And then you own it. Yes, this is what I'm noticing. The next one, so those three steps, often some meditations have some form of that. And the last two steps are what make it very different. It takes us from the fight, force, and fix paradigm into the magic and miracles paradigm that we are currently undergoing on our planet. And that is where, and W stands for the willingness to play. And this is where we play with the energy in our mind's eye. And for some of us, images can be very real. I had a client who saw a bear. He was very connected to ancient Native American culture. And so a bear came to him. And, of course, at first a bear is terrifying. It's huge. It's scary. But then he understood, as the spirit and the energy of the bear, what it meant to him. And so willingness to play means switching spots. Okay, let's take the place of the bear. What does it feel like to be the bear? And you might call that shape-shifting, for example. And he can feel the energy and then get the insights of the energetic reality of what it's like to be a bear, for example. And again, Einstein, he says, the imagination is more important than knowledge. We've been taught that the imagination is some flaky, fluffy thing. And it's not. So this is the development of a new level of skill of taking the intuition and combining it with the imagination. And imagination means to form images in the mind's eye. But in this process, in ancient alchemical law, it is not just about allowing images to form, but also allowing them to transform. And they will. So willingness to play is so important. What crazy things can you come up with? Can you become something? Can you invite something in? And this all has to be done with a sense of openness and curiosity. If we're trying to fight, force, or fix something, it doesn't work. I'll give you an example. There was a woman who had breast cancer in one of the naturopathic offices that I worked with. And she wasn't experienced with this process at all, but she thought she'd come in and give it a try. And so her right breast was filled with cancer. And she came in for vitamin C infusions and things like that. So she imagined the cancer to look like these little green goblins in her breast. And her first inclination, because this is how we typically treat cancer, is let's get rid of it. Let's cut it out. Let's, you know, do whatever we need to do with it. And so I allowed her to do what we typically do so she could see that it didn't work. But so she figured she'd get a vacuum and in her imagination just vacuum all these little green goblins out. I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, poof, they just, in her mind's eye, they all came back. Not like she would invite that, but they did. They all came back. Said, okay, I'm going to train you to do something. It's kind of like the crocodile in the water. How do you allow? Can you just allow whatever's there to be? So what if you were just to say hello to them, that you were open to understanding why they were there in the first place? And she dropped in quite easily. Not everyone can. And so she breathed. We did a little more work. She played a little bit in there. And all of a sudden, I mean, this wasn't her trying to do it. It just spontaneously shifted. These little green, disgusting-looking monster things turned into butterflies. And they just flew away. A week later, she was cancer-free. She did other things as well to help herself. But sometimes it's as simple as that. So there's people with autoimmune disorders. If people can get at the energetic reality underneath what the symptom is caused by, it shifts. Energy can't be created or destroyed, only transformed. So if we know what transforms energy, which is playing with it, literally. But then it brings us to the last part, which is trust. And this is probably the hardest one because none of us have been taught to trust anything in our lives, especially in a healthcare system. We are taught to be afraid of everything. We're afraid of not having enough money. We're afraid of our spouse leaving us. We're afraid of our body symptoms. We're just afraid. And so this is really about freedom from mental, emotional entrapment and trust is preeminently the most important part of all of this, that the universe has our back, that life itself supports us. So that would be my synopsis right there.
Love it. Little breadcrumbs to lead us to the next thing. That is awesome how you laid that out. You know, it's ironic, too. Years ago, I used to talk to Greg Braden a lot over the years for obvious reasons, and I got to meet him in Seattle. I'm trying to remember, it was like 20 years ago at least, and he had that copy of that VHS smuggled out of China where the three Qigong masters had worked with this woman with an inoperable uterine tumor the size of a grapefruit. And they had laid the groundwork and done the adjustments to the food and the thinking and the, you know, cleanses and all of that. They didn't just do this, but the grand finale was three of them doing this schwa, 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 like, but just working the energy live on a dual screen, split screen x-ray, and you see the tumor disappear. 3 minutes, just under 3 minutes. But again, it was all said. It's kind of the formula you laid out there. And I just saw it today on Facebook, of all places, and I just had shared it to my page just before this show. So it's all very fresh.
Oh, interesting.
I know.
Yeah, I love Graves Braden. I quote him in my book, too. Of course, the spontaneous healing of belief. That's really what this is.
He's done great work for a long time, and but I had to get to see that video, because remember that in those days you don't just find it on something called Facebook or anywhere online. You had to drive to Seattle and see a smuggled VHS from China to get the good.
Yeah, they don't allow this stuff very many places, do they? They don't want people being empowered. It would totally disrupt the entire pharmaceutical and optometric industries for sure.
Ugh, right. So, I love how you call it the health scare system. That's my new word for it, too. And, that's one of the biggest challenges with all of this is not succumbing, even knowing all this, even experiencing all this, and then having some crap in your face and not succumbing to the fear programming, because it's been lifelong and deep. You know, how do you help people with that?
Community is a big one. We're in Clubhouse having these discussions. It is really hard when you fall back into, because we're all frequency beings, and so the frequency that you immerse yourself in has a lot to do with falling back into this pattern. So I have in-person gatherings with people who are in the same town as me. We get online, and so it's about building a community that resonates together so that we can reinforce what we know to be true, and sidestepping out of people that interfere with that, because society and the media, even some types of psychology, meditation and healing, they teach us always to go to the fix, fight and control, and sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. You know, we end up hiding, judging, labeling, and diagnosing our emotions and energetic patterns, and really never learning how to transform them. We're not taught these crucial skills. So for me, it's about education, and it's about community and building those, where we can all hold crucial sacred space for each other to experience the truth of our own lives, but also of our culture. Our level of consciousness that we're at, and people that are willing, because it's self-healing is really not about feeling good. We have a culture that's about feeling good. We always seek out ways to alleviate our pain or discomfort, but it's not about feeling good. It's about truth, and sometimes we have to do uncomfortable things. To seek truth.
It seems one of the biggest things that we can do to serve humanity right now is getting people back in their own power.
Yes, absolutely. And changing their paradigm from fear to trust to get them in their own power. Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Before we get specific into, I'm just keeping an eye on the time. It tends to go by in the bat of an eye here. Before we get into some wrap-up specifics about all the stuff that you do and how people can work with you, let's talk about the world today and what the hell is going on. What the hell is going on?
Right. Do you just want me to go into a tirade of what I think is going on?
Dive in. Yes, go for it. Let it rip.
That's a big question. I believe it's a massive awakening. I call it the quickening. Again, into that paradigm of spirituality and self-healing. We're no longer part of the Industrial Revolution and the psychology that says we're broken parts on a conveyor belt that needs to be put back together. We're whole as we are. However you want to see it, there's a bunch of, whether it's corporations that have taken over, my first degree is in business, so I have a lot of idea about corporations and how they operate, and think that the human species on the world are commodities. And we just aren't. We have a power that is beyond all of those things, and people of the world, banks and other powers that make a lot of money off of the backs of people who are afraid don't want us to know these types of things. But it's a little too late. So as long as we are recognizing that we already have our power, there really is nothing to fear. You know, if we leave the planet now, we're an energetic being. We just recycle. So I like to call it, and to help people get out of that fear and into the trust mode, I try to describe it and compare it to a magic show. We talk about alchemy, and alchemy, they say, is about changing lead and stuff into gold. But it's really about changing our mental states. And that's why they people are said to have hearts of gold, because it's pure. It's untainted by fear and mistrust and division and all of this shadow stuff. We own our stuff. So the universe is this divine magician. But for some reason, it's like we go to, for example, imagine if you bought these high-priced tickets to a highly acclaimed magician and you discover you've already seen the show and know how he does the trick. It just ruins the excitement. Healing in the intuitive piece is about alchemy, is about the profound quick shifts in mental and emotional states, situations, and physical symptoms, like my boils that just disappeared, my streptococcal blood infection. But all the time we're always like, well, God, tell us how it's done. Just tell me how it's done and get it fixed, instead of being enraptured in the curiosity like we do in a magic show. We go in with anticipation. But for some reason, we expect healing and intuition to be serious in this healthcare system. But it really is about play. Oh my God, okay, what's going to happen next? And when I work with people, I'm just like that. I'm like, oh, goody, what are you going to show me now that's so incredibly beautiful about the reason why we're here? Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. Totally. It transmuted the entire thing from, what's going on, to, you know, something better. And that's why we're here.
We will never know.
So we have, it just goes by so fast. We've got about 7 minutes to the top. We want to get a total overview. Actually, before you do that, tell us what you foresee doing on future shows here.
Oh, wow. I hope to have some people on who have spontaneously shifted things in their own lives. I hope to have some self-healing circles. So if people are listening in and they want to explore a little bit of what their symptoms are, or an irritation, an annoyance, or some, maybe it's a ghost. I have people who see ghosts and then they start to get in tune with, okay, what does that ghost need? How do we clear this energy? It can be anything that you're kind of curious about, and we can do a little practice and have people ask questions. Where did they get stuck? How does that work exactly? I'll tell some stories. We'll talk in greater depth about what fear is, what I think the ego is. Do you ever have people put in their comments about what they want to explore, Nicole?
People write into the show, actually, at ontheair@telus.net, tell us with one L, and we get feedback that way. I'll just let you know, too, we've had callers this whole show, so that's another option down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would be very interested in what, touching base with the people who want to know, how to become the witch, the wizard, the magician, the miracle maker in their own lives and what that is affected by. There's a lot of topics, so I was playing with the idea of going into specific topic areas, how does self-healing relate to relationships and the most difficult ones that we have in our life? How do we see them as the mirrors and the gifts instead of the people that we really have a resentment or hatred towards. Natural vision improvement. How are the eyes the windows to the soul? How does that connect? How can we have reduced prescriptions that help us become more in tune with our intuition? I know a lot about that as well. How do
possibilities are endless.
Oh, they are. They are absolutely endless. Yeah.
Well, we now have 4 minutes to do something that's called shameless self-promotion. We do it at the end of every here on News for the Soul. Gives people a chance to, you know, there's many people listening and holding now who may need to really hear what you have to say as far as what you offer and all that's going on. So, yeah, 4 whole minutes, 3.5.
4 whole minutes. Jeez, that's a lot. the easiest way to get a hold of me, I am on YouTube. We're building a big YouTube channel to help people. You can look up my name, Summer Bozo, and you will find it. Summer, as in spring, winter, and fall, last name Bozo. The whole last name is Bozohora, but Bozo is easier to remember. I do have an online mind-body medicine school as well. And you'll be able to find it by going into the YouTube channel. I mean, you can also find me on Clubhouse and look up the Shaman's Healing Sanctuary and join us for some conversations there too. Otherwise, we will be here every month, won't we, Nicole? The first Tuesday of every month, we'll talk about soul level healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Today has been a great pleasure connecting in with you. And I'll remind everybody, too, you're also all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. You've been listening to Summer, her new show. Get this little window out of the way. Inside Out Healing. That's out as OWT, the acronym we've been hearing about today. Lots of good stuff coming your way. Summer, again, welcome to the News for the Soul family, and we'll see you next month.
I'm so excited. And if anyone has questions, type it into the News for the Soul and we'll wrap the shows around them.
Yay. All right. You take care. Have a great month. Enjoy the ride. And we'll see you back here. We have open lines next, so you can call back in when the switchboard cuts you off. Laura will be channeling in who knows who in the next hour right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.